This is HBR episode 1967 entitled, How I Saw the Linux Light at the End of the Windows Tunnel. It is hosted by first-time host Nacho Jordi and is about 14 minutes long. The summary is, my personal story of discovery of Linux.
This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Nacho Jordi, and I'm a long-time listener, first-time podcaster of the Hacker Public Radio. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the background noise. I'm recording in the street. I hope it's not a big deal, because in other episodes I heard people recording things in a park or as they walk by, and the slogan in the Hacker Public Radio site says, any soundtrack is better than no soundtrack, so I hope it's not a big deal. Okay, in this my first podcast, I like to tell the typical story of how I came to know Linux, how I became a regular Linux user, which I've been since 2009, and no wish whatsoever of going back to Microsoft or Apple. And my beginnings with computing started in the 80s. I was a teenager then, and my first computer was a British computer, the ZX Spectrum, an 8-bit machine. At that time, the computer didn't have a hard drive. You stored the information in cassettes, which then took like 3 to 5 minutes to load into RAM. Sometimes they failed, and you had to find different tweaks with the tape recorder until you got to the tapes to work. But in that computer, I'm very fond of it, in spite of its flaws. It was a legendary computer. I made my first programs in there, first in BASIC, and as time went by, I did some assembler too, mostly games. I think the games was the most big thing, the biggest thing with that computer. It was a huge market, and I fancied myself a programmer and made some games. I usually ripped off the graphics from another games. That was also my first attempt as a hacker, because I took the graphics from the code, because I don't have many graphics skills. Well, sometimes my brother, who was an arts student, makes some graphics for me too. Okay, then and after the Spectrum in the 80s, I followed the usual drift. Windows 3, and I think it was called Windows 3, right? Before the 95, it was Windows 3. I'm not sure, right? I remember I was dazzled with Word Perfect to the extent that I started to write a novel just for the pleasure of using the word processor. I'm a bit of a writer in addition to computers. It's one of my hobbies, and I got to write some good 40 pages or something like that. Maybe it was the first time I wrote something that long, just for the pleasure. It was the first time I was moving from a typewriter to the possibilities of a word processor. And I have to say, probably like most of the population in the world. When word came, I shamelessly moved into Word. I don't know what that program had, but a lot of people rushed into Word, and that's the story is very known. That's why WordPerfect moved from hero to zero at some point, because Word stole all its market. I don't know. Now I'm curious. I would like to get to use WordPerfect again. Maybe someday I'll do a wine thing or a DOS box thing. Okay, so then, like most of the human beings, I went to Windows 95, then came 98, and then Windows XP. From that age, I remember very fondly Apogee games, which were coming from the times of the Spectrum, were like Spectrum games on steroids. I mean, the platform games now had scrolling and a lot of add-ons, and I spent a lot of fun hours with those games. At some point, games became too complicated for me. I guess I'm a classic guy because of my background, and when games become too realistic and too 3D-ish, I find them a bit creepy. I like two dimensions platform games and that kind of stuff. Until, like everybody again, I guess, Doom came and it was like a revolution. I think everybody remembers the first time he jumped to a side of the computer because one monster of Doom was getting too close. I've been playing Doom since then. Now I play, of course, the open source version, Free Doom, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different levels. I love it. Never get tired of it. And also, well, the other Quake, Blood, all that school of first-person shooters. It's probably as modern as I get in video games. When it starts to have too many controls, it gets a bit dizzy for me. But anyways, in that time, as I moved from one operating system to other, I noticed that my computer was getting more and more bloated, and I was getting farther and farther from the guts of the thing, because there was a lot of intermediate stuff, and that's why I got a bit alienated from computing. Even with the little use I gave to my computer, I noticed that it was running slower and slower and slower. The problem, it turned out, at a certain point, was not computers. It was Microsoft Windows and the things they do so that you have to move to their next version, which is even more bloated and even more difficult to use, etc. So at a certain point I got fed up and tried to find an alternative. My laptop, by the way, as I wasn't very interested in computers at that time, was for a long time a Compaq Presario 150, which it's a tiny computer, and I neglected it because I wasn't interested in losing my time closing error screens. That's what you have the time with Windows, really. So I remember my first active step in upgrading my computer was repairing the CD drive, and I remember it was funny because the guy at the repair shop started to laugh when I saw I was running Windows XP in that laptop. I think the Presario 150 has like 64 megabytes of RAM or something like that, and it took like 5 or 7 minutes to boot. I usually started it, then went to have a shower, had breakfast, and then went back to use the computer. Well, then next thing I did was thus extending the Presario memory And then I started my distro hopping. Along the years, I've tried several times. It's like my learning curve and the development of Linux have taken some time to meet each other. Many of my attempts, at that point I didn't know that most of them didn't work just because my computer was so tiny, even for a Linux system. So the first operating systems I tried in Linux were Guava Linux, which was a Debian-based distro created by a Spanish regional government. I got to the desktop there, but never got to use it because the computer froze all the time. Then I tried SUSE, same story. I tried several versions of SUSE, and finally I got a CD version from a magazine. I don't remember the SUSE version. It was like 2008, 2009, the year. It didn't work either. It froze. But in that magazine, in one page, it mentioned distros for small old computers. One of them was Puppy Linux. And then I went to the Puppy Linux site and finally got Puppy version 2.16 running. That I settled there. Puppy takes very short time to install once you know it. The first time it took me longer, but it can be done like in 5 minutes. Since I started with Puppy is like a distro of distros in itself. It's like it has different flavors called Puppets, and from that Puppy I've been distro hopping like within Puppy. And I'm currently running a Puppy Slacko 55, and I have other Puppies because being so small a distro, you can have several. It's very very easy to have different distros running, and I'm very happy with Puppy. Oh, people don't like it because people are a bit afraid of a distro that runs as root, but I find it it's an advantage because of the way the Puppy files are structured. It's very difficult to have security issues, and the thing is I it's grown into me, and when I have to use other distros now, I find very annoying having to type the sudo with every command. So well, that's where I'm now. I'm a happy Linux user, and I'm never going back to slavery. And of course, I'm not saying Linux is perfect or for everybody, because when something doesn't work in Linux, you are on your own, basically. But it's the operating system that better fits me, suits me. Let's see what the future brings with Linux. I don't think I move from Puppy Linux. I'm very, very happy, very comfy. My operating system is very, very customized. I think if I got run by a bus, people will have difficulties to navigate through my computer because of how customized I have it. Like the window managers is not poison, and well, I'm left-handed, everything is configured for a left-handed, etc., etc. Also, I prefer to use key bindings before better than mouse. So, well, that's a lot of hours of research and development in my Linux box. That's another thing I love. Well, Linux, I think every geek likes to customize their computer. I've moved from the Presario 150, of course. I upgraded. This is my Linux story so far. I thought it would be good, would make for a good podcast. I don't like to dwell in the past too much. but it's a story of liberation, like most of Linux usage are. And I hope it didn't get too grumpy granddaddy. In other podcasts, I intend to speak more about the future, about projects, small projects. I'm a power user, no more than that, and I have small projects I'm involved in. So for this time, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.